Good evening again. So, the second Bible reading of today is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. It's also located in page 980 in your Red Pew Bibles or on the screen behind me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, may result, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Well, good evening. Done well. This is the sixth service over our Easter period. We began Thursday night, Good Friday, and this is the fourth service today. And it's been great to gather to remember the beauty of Christ, his death and his resurrection. But one of the themes has been, how do we find peace and hope in a fractured world? Because we do live in a fractured world. Whether it's Ukraine or Palestine, Myanmar, Sudan, Yemen, where war continues, we know our world is fractured. There are something like 30 million refugees globally. Our world is fractured. 120 million people forcibly displaced worldwide due to persecution, conflict, violence, or human rights violations. There are sex slave traffickers, sexual abuse, family violence, marriage breakdown, sickness and death, injustice, poverty, rape, torture, selfishness and jealousy, school shootings, bushfires, floods, earthquakes, cyclones. And so we asked the question over this weekend, where do you find hope in a world like ours? Let me tell you about one Easter morning. A woman was on her way to church. I picture her on a morning like this morning. Got up, her car broke down. Didn't want to miss church. Made a special effort to get there, so she ordered an Uber to pick her up. The car arrived. She jumped in the back. There she is. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question. The driver didn't respond, he didn't answer. So she leaned forward, tapped him on the arm. At that point, the driver let out a loud scream, he swerved into oncoming traffic, he almost hit another car, he slammed on the brakes, he skidded over to the shoulder and he stopped. He took a deep breath. She took a deep breath. And she said, "Wow, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that tapping your shoulder would alarm you like that." Capturing his breath and getting some sense of stability again, he said, no, it's not you. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just that it's my first day driving an Uber today. And for the past 25 years, I've been driving a hearse. The unexpected and the surprising. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was like the unexpected and the surprising. What do you mean he's not here? Where is he? Who took him? What have they done with him? The unexpected and the surprising. Good Friday was a tough day. Jesus crucified on a rugged Roman cross, dead and buried. The disciples ran and hid. They didn't know what to do with this, because even though Jesus had spoken to them about his death, He had spoken to them about his resurrection. They didn't quite get it until after the resurrection. But today is Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. There is hope for now and hope for all of eternity. Death does not win. Sin does not win. Satan does not win. We can find peace with God through a crucified Savior. That was our theme on Good Friday. We can find hope today through a resurrected Lord. And let me say, the resurrection of Jesus is rooted in historical reality. It's not a myth made up. He lived on this planet. He was crucified on this planet. He was dead at point A. He was alive in point B. It's in history. And Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. Great hope for now and for the future. Dr. Billy Graham, many years ago, was in West Germany. This is before the unification of East and West Germany. And the Chancellor then said, Mr. Graham, do you know what is the most important thing in this world? The most important truth there is? And Billy Graham said, before I had a chance to answer, the Chancellor of West Germany said this. The most important thing in the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus is dead and buried in the tomb, then I can see no hope for the future of mankind. But if he is raised from the dead, we are all possessed with hope. Hope through the resurrected Lord. Now, let me take you to 1 Peter tonight. He starts with, in God's great mercy, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Easter reminds us of God's mercy. A loving, merciful God who lays his son down to die in our place. God is merciful. Christ dies for us as our substitute so we can be forgiven. We can now have peace with God. It's a great sacrifice. It's a great act of mercy. Take you back to 1999. It was a funeral service in the north coast of New South Wales. David Wallace was a truck driver who passed away in an accident. The obituary in the local newspaper described him as the bravest man in the world. So as a highlight of the school holiday, he took his 11-year-old son with him on a trip in his truck carrying timber. Sadly, on the road, tragedy struck. His truck swerved to miss an oncoming car, rolled down an embankment, burst into flames. He and his son were in the truck cab. When rescuers arrived, they heard the cries of the boy, alive. They found that his father, David, had laid himself over his son to protect him from the fire. His son needed some hospital treatment, survived. And we could say David Wallace died putting himself between his son and the flames to save his son. He took the death so his son would live. In a much more profound, significant way, Jesus gave his life for us, to save us from the judgment we deserve, death and separation from him forever. He gave his life, though, not for his son, not for his friends, but he gave his life for his enemies, the Bible says. That's mercy. That was the focus of Good Friday. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But secondly, he speaks about a living hope. The mercy of God gives us a living hope. I don't know whether you've realised, but I take a few funerals. Dave and I take some funerals, Christians and non-Christians. And it's interesting, even in non-Christian funerals, although some people will say, you're dead and buried, that's it. Scatter my ashes anywhere you like, it doesn't matter. Even non-Christians are hoping that there is something beyond the grave. Don't you find that? They're hoping that maybe there'll be some reconciliation in the future. As someone has said, they hope there is a heaven and pray there is no hell. They're hoping there's something beyond. There is a yearning in our human heart to believe there's something beyond this earth. Christians have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Good Friday was not the end for Jesus. He has defeated death. He offers a clean slate with God and eternal life. But let me ask the question tonight, because it's an important one every Easter. Why should you believe it? What's in the evidence? What evidence is there that Jesus rose from the dead? I said it's in the historical evidence. It's a man of history, died at point A, was alive at point B, and has now returned to heaven. What's the evidence? Let me quickly, in bullet point, tell you some of the evidence. Number one, the tomb where Jesus was laid was empty. placed in the tomb. When they turn up on Sunday morning, he was not there. He had to be somewhere, but he wasn't there. The body was never produced by the skeptics. Some people say the Jews or the Romans took his body so the Christians wouldn't steal it. If that was true, if the Jews or the Romans had taken the body, when Christians started to preach the message of the resurrection on the day of Pentecost, what would have killed Christianity in an instant? The Jews bring out the body. The Romans bring out the body, but there's no body. They didn't have the body. Some say, well, the disciples stole the body and they created this great myth and story about a resurrected Jesus. Why would they? The disciples who saw him were willing to be martyred for their faith. They didn't take the body. Why would they die for a lie? They didn't become famous. They didn't make a lot of money. They didn't develop large mansions. They didn't go on exciting holidays. You know what they got for believing in Jesus? Execution. You don't die for a lie. Up to 500 witnesses saw him. Too many to be rejected as a hallucination. The start of the church and the break from Judaism points to the resurrection. A small group of Christians, or people now who are Christians, breaking away from the people of God. Israel is the people of God, the ones who God has chosen. Read all the Old Testament. And yet, a breakaway from that group. Why? Because of the resurrection. Women were the first witnesses to the resurrection. Why is that important? If it was a hoax, you would not have the women telling the story at all. Because in the Jewish law of the day, the testimony of women wasn't accepted. Why are women there at the cross? Why are women at the tomb? Why are the women the first witnesses of the resurrection? Because it's true, it's not a hoax. If you are creating a story, let me be very clear about the resurrection of Jesus, you would not have the women telling the story. The Jews would say, we don't trust that testimony. The conversion and resulting transformation of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Following the resurrection of Jesus, he was arresting Christians and putting them into prison. Saul of Tarsus was arresting Christians and having them executed for being followers of Jesus. And one day we read in Acts chapter 9, Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Why do you persecute me, Saul?" And said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And then Jesus set him apart to be the great missionary, apostle, preacher in the first century who wrote a lot of the New Testament that you're reading. Can you believe that? The stuff you're reading was from a former murderer and a hater of Christians. What transformed him? It was meeting the resurrected Jesus. And the resurrection was at the very center of the early apostolic preaching. Whenever they preached, it was the resurrection as well as the cross. It is a living hope. It is a true hope. And it brings hope to the lost and the rebellious, the good and the moral. Kim Hawtrey was a friend of mine. I used to get him to speak at evangelistic events many years ago, and he wrote a book called The True and Living God. And one of the places he traveled to preach was Russia. And at one point, he was in a Russian prison. And he needed to have an interpreter as he preached the gospel in a prison. So a woman came alongside him. He said she looked pretty ordinary, middle class, dressed in street clothes, not prison clothes. She showed a high level of education. And he said, asked if she worked in the jail. She said, "No, I don't work in the jail. I'm one of the inmates." He said, "What are you in for?" She said, "I have a sentence for murder. In fact, two murders." He took a step back. "Okay, tell me some more." "Well, I came home one night to find my husband in bed with his lover, and in rage, I killed them both. Now I'm serving 10 years. She said, "Before I came into the prison, I was not religious at all. I didn't know God. I didn't know Jesus. I began attending the prison Bible study led by the chaplain. I came to understand the gospel, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know I am pardoned by God in spite of my crime through Jesus' death on the cross. I have found both hope and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ." Easter offers us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is hope for those who recognize their lostness and rely on God's mercy in Jesus. The criminal on the cross found forgiveness in his final moment of life. The lying, thieving tax collectors like Zacchaeus found forgiveness and peace with God. The sexually immoral found grace and hope through Jesus. It is hope which has an eternal perspective. Agatha Christie was the number one selling mystery writer. She grasped the reality of eternity. She had a little book they found at her deathbed called The Imitation of Christ. And inside it, in her own writing, her own handwriting, she had these verses from Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a great hope, isn't it? As we saw on Good Friday, no condemnation and no separation, Romans chapter 8 tells us. Securing Christ forever. But our society tells us, make money, be happy, build your own kingdom. Our society tells us, make money, be happy, build your own kingdom. It's a trap that most of us can drift into. But we know there's more to it than that. You're sitting here tonight, what are you doing in church on Easter Sunday? Everyone else is at the beach, it's 30 degrees outside. And you come back from wherever you are to be here to hear God's word, to worship Jesus. Because you know there's more than simply that. And one writer put it this way, Carnell says, the life and death thing really messes up people's heads. The incongruity between our desire for life and the reality of physical death is the most maddening problem of all. Although we see the handwriting on the wall, we refuse to think it that death is our final destiny, that we will perish as the fish and the fowl, that our place will be remembered no more. We wish, will to live forever. The urge is written deep in our nature. Yes, it is. God has placed eternity in our hearts, the Bible says. I remember going to the funeral of a former student, or not a student, someone I studied with it in Moore High School, shot dead by a friend on a farm property, 18 years of age. Everyone wore black. The church was overflowing. A sense of lostness, a sense of hope that there was something beyond this. If only there was something beyond this. His father wore a black suit every time I saw him for the next year or so, with a black armband. He didn't have the suit, he had the black armband. Sense of lostness, because he didn't believe in the resurrection. He thought it was all up. There was nothing more. There was no hope for him. And I would meet him and I would just think, if only you knew the hope of Christ. But he never did. Sadly, my friend never knew Jesus either. Thirdly, there's a new birth. Because you see, the resurrection is not simply about the future, but it's for the present. Eternal life is both a now and forever thing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. So God has come to forgive our sins and to give us new spiritual birth. Friends, I was born on the 18th of October, 1960-something. And I was born again in July 1975. I can't remember the exact date. I was born physically at one point. I was born spiritually. I was born again, or born from above, the Bible says in John 3, that point. You can't be a Christian unless you're born again, Jesus said. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And when you repent and believe in Jesus, God's Spirit and brings new life to you, comes and enters your life and starts to lead you here and now. See, eternal life starts now. It's not just about the future. It's about now. It's about living with meaning and purpose and God's direction. I'm going to tell you about John. John attended a New Age Mind Powers workshop. He was encouraged to see that he had lived life by playing the role of a victim. He was seeking spiritual direction for his life. And the remedy he was given by the New Age teacher was to acknowledge that he was his own God, that he could create his own destiny. Bad advice. Real bad advice. You are God, your own God. You can create your own destiny. Just visualize where you want to be and just do it. Act upon it. Just go after what you want. And if you believe it enough, you'll get it. At first, it seemed to work for John until his business venture collapsed and his wife left him for a better soulmate. Left living on a park bench. No one beyond him or greater than his situation he could depend on. By contrast, the resurrection of Christ offers us meaning and hope. It says that there is a personal God who loves us and beckons us into a relationship with him. That no matter what we go through in life, through the suffering, through the good times, God is alongside us and God is within us, and we call him Daddy, Abba, Father. You see, I am not God. I do not create my own destiny. I don't even know that I'm going to live beyond this sermon, right? I got no idea I'm going to wake up in the morning. But I know that there is the God of the universe who loves me and cares for me, has a meaning and purpose for my life and for yours. The resurrection tells us that we are not alone on the journey of life. We have a God who's with us. And finally, there is a glorious future. There is, we're told in verses 3 to 5, let me read this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We have the mercy of God, we have a living hope, we have a new birth, and we have a glorious future. And God protects us, guards us, and gets us to that glorious future, is what he says here. We have a beautiful inheritance to come. But friends, we still have a fractured world. We're still dealing with living in a broken world, with evil and injustice. And that will continue until Christ comes again. The book of Revelation says Christ will make all things right at the end of time, at his second coming. He came the first time to make possible our salvation. He comes back the second time to bring a conclusion to this world as we know it, to eliminate sin and evil and the final judgment upon Satan, and to bring life to all those who are waiting for him, the Bible says. And I love this song by Faith Hill. It's called There Will Come a Day. Faith Hill, she's a pop artist, country pop artist from the United States. I'm not into music at all. I never know who sings anything normally. My girls will tell you that. And I listen to the radio, still I have nothing. But I was at the school spectacular when Caitlin, my eldest, was in the choir with hundreds of other people up. Ever been in one of those school spectacular? Anyone been there? Yeah. They get big choirs so they can. All the parents will turn up to sort of try and see their kids up there somewhere, right? And a great performance of public schools. Beautiful items and musicians, some of the best public schools. And it was about 20 years ago or a bit longer than that, and the world was fractured back then. There were wars happening back then. Evil was taking place back then. We probably had 9/11 back then. And so the public schools, whoever ran this arts performance, chose a Christian song to finish the whole event. And I'm listening, and it's loud and it's blaring, and there are people dancing everywhere and strobe lights everywhere, and all of a sudden I'm hearing the word Jesus. I went, they can't be singing about Jesus at the Sydney Entertainment Center. There used to be one of those, right? In a public schools event. And these are the words. It's not easy trying to understand how the world can be so cold, stealing the souls of man. Cloudy skies rain down on all your dreams. You wrestle with the fear and doubt. Sometimes it's hard, but you've got to believe. And there it's blaring out. But there's a better place where our Father waits. And every tear he'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone. The weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith. There will come a day. My heart's beating faster. Palms are sweating, hallelujah. I'm praying, right? Lord, may someone understand what she's saying. May someone listen in to the words that there is hope in Jesus. He continues, wars are raging, lives are scattered, innocence is lost and hopes are shattered. The old are forgotten, the children are forsaken. In this world we're living in, isn't anything sacred? But there's a better place where our Father waits, and every tear he'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone, the weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith. There will come a day. There will come a day. She sings that a lot. There will come a day. There will come a day. Oh, there will come a day. Oh, oh. Songs will ring out, and of this, look at where it lands. Songs will ring out down those golden streets. The voices of earth, the angels will sing. Every knee will bow. Sin will have no trace in the glory of his amazing grace. Every knee will bow. Sin will have no trace in the glory of his amazing grace. There will come a day. I know there's coming a day. Hope because of the resurrection. Hope for eternity, for now, but for the future because of the resurrection. Let me ask you four questions as I conclude. Have you received the mercy of God? Whether you're in this auditorium or watching a live stream tonight, have you received the mercy of God? Do you have peace with God? Are you enjoying a living hope? Have you experienced a spiritual rebirth? Are you born again? Are you confident of your eternal destiny? No condemnation, no separation, a great inheritance in heaven through Christ. God offers us all these things through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Let's worship him. Let's thank God for him. Let's give our lives to him and put our faith in him. And let me say, if you're newer here to our church, we'd love for you to do the Alpha course that starts on May the 13th. And talk to us about that. It's going to be a great seven-week series, a video-based series with conversations, discussions over some food. But also, if you wanted to pick up some materials tonight on the way out, the Joy to All People, the Gospel of Luke, beautifully produced Gospel of Luke from the New Testament, the real Easter, you'll find those documents just to the left on the way out tonight. Let me pray. Oh, Lord God, there is no one like you who would be so merciful and gracious to step into human history in your son Jesus, to live that perfect life, to die a sacrificial death in our place, and to destroy death and sin and Satan by your resurrection. We thank you, Jesus, that you now have ascended into heaven, that you reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we ask that we ourselves and those in our community would come to appreciate all that you are and believe in you and follow you, find peace with God and the hope of eternal life. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.